The teachers of the Eastern schools study to enable their pupils to acquire the power of conscious spiritual communion while in the body, and the development of an equally conscious power of leaving the body while the conscious spirit is gaining rest and knowledge in a higher condition of existence. That the majority of medium have not yet acquired this perfect control is due to the fact that very few are ever able or willing to go through the process needful to gain this perfect mastery of their bodies. The majority do not even grasp the idea that there is any need for more development than they have already attained. In the limits of a note, it is impossible to follow out this subject further. But since it is becoming an accepted fact that such things as hypnotic trances and hypnotic control exist, it would be well for thoughtful persons to give the subject an intelligent and careful consideration, regarding as a dangerous, as well as a useful and often beneficent attribute, this magnetic power, which lies latent in so many people. Concerning obsessions, in giving the story of Ahrensemann to the public, those who dictated it have been asked to add a note as to their views of the recent discussions on obsessions and other evils which are so prominent a feature of the occult movement in the present day. 1908. First, as to the evil effects experienced by some persons who have sat in circles for development or for the manifestations of psychic power. The whole theory of magnetic control rests upon a condition of mutual receptivity being established between the members of a circle. But few reflect that the blending of magnetisms with those who form the spirit side of that circle is no less a part of the process, and that without the aid of the magnetism of the spirits present, nothing belonging to the spirit side of life would be obtained. Now, in forming a circle, which sits in a large city, how are you going to ensure absolute freedom from the intrusions of the low or evil earthbound spirits who crowd the streets of a large city? The magnetic aura created by the circle hangs in a cloud around them and draws spirits to it even as a magnet draws iron and steel, and everything bright or rusty, useful tools or dangerous weapons, will be attracted by the powerful magnet. The popular idea that the good intelligences who guard the meeting will prove strong enough to ensure protection, has not always proved correct, for which reason we are not in favor of circles for physical phenomena being held in large cities. Supposing, however, that they are held, then it should be remembered that the intruding spirits will give off their magnetism to blend with that of the good spirits, and thus magnetic threads will be formed between them and those members of the circle who are sensitive to magnetic influences, for not until a complete fusion of magnetisms takes place is there a distillation of that vitalized ether upon which genuine manifestations depend. If you once admit that the aura of a good and pure person can be poisoned by their absorbing the tainted mixture from a mixed circle of all sorts of mortals and spirits, you will also admit that the good persons can carry home with them a sufficient portion of that poisoned magnetism to form the nucleus of a magnetic state congenial to the low and depraved spirits, and into which any of them can enter a second time without the aid of the circle. The oftener the low spirit visits a good and pure mortal, the more completely will that mortal's aura become poisoned by the magnetism of the low spirit, and the easier will it be for other low spirits to follow the first intruder, and the more difficult will be the task of breaking off the rapport which has been established or limiting these low spirits' power of controlling the mortal. In all physical phenomena, one essential element required to form the complete magnetic chain from mortal conditions to the higher spirit states, is the magnetism of spirits upon the earth plane. That being the condition of magnetic life, which forms the final link with man. Therefore, the presence and aid of earthbound spirits is always needful to such manifestations, and even if these earthbound spirits are not evil, but anxious to do good, their continual control of a very highly sensitive medium must do harm because, owing to the nature and structure of that astral body of the earth plane, in which an earthbound spirit is imprisoned, the spirit cannot help absorbing from the mortal his finer life essence. A draft of that vitalized ether, which is distilled at a seance for physical phenomena, most particularly for materialization, is like a drink of champagne to a mortal or an elixir to a sick man. And it is little wonder that earthbound spirits crowd to seances, or that those who only know how much better they feel from attending a seance should be loud in praise of the good a seance is doing them and oblivious to or ignorant of, the fact that the life essence they absorb must have been drawing from some living person in the flesh, since only persons in the flesh can give off earthly magnetism to blend with that higher magnetism, which also is what the poor earthbound spirit lacks and cannot obtain unaided. An earthbound spirit is like one who belongs to neither earth nor heaven nor Jaga. He has lost his hold on the earth life and not yet attained to the spirit world. He lives in his astral body and, having nothing of his own, must borrow from those both above and below him on the ladder of development. We cannot here explain all that the study of the earth-bound astral body would lead to, but we should much desire to see the nature and structure of that body, and its relation to both the true spirit body and the earthly envelope, made the subject of scientific study by the student of occultism, for it is through this knowledge that the causes and cure of obsessions will be found. We admit that physical phenomena, like every other form of phenomena, has its place and its use in demonstrating the nature of the latent powers conferred on man, but we object to the indiscriminate use of it, with disastrous and often fatal results. It would be wiser to recognize and admit the evil and the danger and set to work to find the remedy, than deny what is proved by thousands of instances of obsession and ruin amongst ignorant or thoughtlessly confiding mediums. Magnetic treatment is one of the remedies for obstinate cases of obsession, but it ought to be very cautiously applied because under certain conditions magnetism will only increase the evil. The majority of magnetizers do not possess sufficient knowledge of the different forms of obsession nor of the different effects of the magnetism of the astral and physical planes. The whole subject is in need of an altogether wider study. Mediumship is a necessity. Without it there would be no means of knowledge, no instruments through which to study the occult plane, but mediumship, in exact proportion to the magnetic powers it confers, becomes a greater and ever greater source of danger the further its development is carried, unless the control of those powers can be held with a firm hand and understood in all their aspects. At the present moment mortals have not got sufficient knowledge to make the universal practice of mediumship safe, and it would be wiser to limit its development to those who intend to make it the business of their lives and who possess logical powers of brain, strength of will, and purity of purpose, as well as gifts of a high order. The majority of slightly endowed dabblers in mediumship whom one meets on all sides are simply wasting time and creating a danger to themselves and others. Knowledge is the best safeguard, and knowledge will be best obtained from those who can study all the conditions of spirit life, not from those whose experiences have only been of a nature to put them in harmonious touch with certain of the bright spheres of good and happy spirits. What we would like to see would be the conditions under which there could be a development of mediumship such as would reproduce some of the more subtle forms of phenomena known to the old magicians, many of whom were very highly endowed men with a far greater knowledge than is shown by the fragmentary records they have left. But to reproduce these experiments would require the development of just those mediums whose gifts lie on the blended astral and physical planes, and who are, as we said, the mediums whose powers are the most dangerous to develop in the mixed conditions in which public mediums at present have to live. A very special course of development for such mediums is also required, and very few would have the self-sacrifice to submit to the long and tedious process or give up all that they would have to resign. In the old days, a magician, when he found such a medium as a young child, bought that child for a slave and did with it what he chose, and through such a medium the magician made a study of the astral body and the astral plane of earth life. And those who wish to obtain the knowledge of that plane will have to find such mediums in order to learn by actual demonstration the facts the old magicians discovered. But no experimenter ought to attempt to develop or use that or any other form of magnetic mediumship, until the experimenter understands the nature and dangers of the force he is studying. To allow all sorts of ignorant people to experiment with their own and others' magnetic forces is like throwing open to the public a chemical laboratory full of jars and vials containing the most powerful and deadly poisons. A study of the subject is a necessity of the age, but in making all freely welcome to enter upon that course of study, the most clear and decided warnings ought to be given as to the dangerous mature of the elements, which will have to be dealt with during that course of study. In all ages this has been true, and although a fair number of persons year by year safely carry on a little routine of simple experiments, they owe their safety to the fact that such gifts as they employ do not put them in touch with the sphere from which the true dangers arise, and even though they themselves escape harm, there are numerous cases where persons who have joined in these experiments have suffered seriously afterwards, from the simple reason that the mediumship of the sufferers proved to be on a different plane, and once the development was begun by good but often half-instructed spirits, it has passed beyond their control, and the sensitive has been taken possession of by another class of spirits and developed onto the dangerous plane. As regards the two forms of magnetism, which are classed as astral and physical, we say that the fundamental difference between them is due to the different planetary conditions under which the astral people and the physical people, or spirits of the Adamite race, were created. We speak of physical spirits when we mean those spirits who obtain their original individual consciousness with their incarnation upon the planet Earth at the period of its perfect physical, or present, stage of evolution. This race is called by old writers the race of Adam, or first perfected type of man in the physical form on Earth. As distinguished from the Adamite race, old writers speak of the astral people and of a mixed race whom they called the dwellers on the threshold, and while the Western nations have lost trace of these ancient traditions, the Eastern schools of occultism and theology have retained a belief in them as a part of their teachings. With the lapse of time, much confusion and many errors have crept into the teachings given regarding these two races. But the main features will be found alike in all countries both East and West, where any traditions survive, and although the arrogance of Adamite man has made him believe that to him alone was the gift of immortality given, the oldest records go to show that the astral race was no less immortal and numbered amongst its people good as well as evil intelligences of the highest order. These spirits who have never known incarnation in the conditions of the Adamite race cannot be seen by man, but they can and do act upon him through the intervention and mediumship of that intermediate race who have blended with both the astral and Adamite races and whose origin and kinship with man cannot be explained here, but which have been fully given in another story, which will follow this one. It is from the mediums upon Earth who can hold converse with this dual race of dwellers on the threshold that all knowledge of the true astral people has been derived in ancient times. And it is of course partly due to the necessary imperfections in all mediums that certain errors have crept into accounts of them, for, as we have elsewhere shown, the minds of the earthly inquirers who questioned the mediums, often dominated them to the exclusion of the spirit controls, hence the ideas of Adamite man he got mixed with the revelations given him. If a study of the astral plane were opened up now by careful and thoughtful students, much could be learned. But not until the systematic development and safeguarding of the astral physical mediums was established, could it be attempted. These mediums were the subjects in olden times of the witchcraft manifestations, either innocently or with a knowledge and evil use of their power, and a study of the apparently absurd or wildly imaginative details given at many the witch trials would indicate one direction in which to seek for the causes of obsessions. Mediums belonging to the class of mixed astral and physical mediumship ought never under any circumstances to be tempted to sit for development in mixed circles or allow themselves to be treated magnetically even for curative purposes, because all magnetism will tend to the uncovering and development of the powers of their astral body and put them at once in touch with the astral plane of the Earth sphere, that sphere from which come the worst evils, which can afflict humanity once the barrier between it and man is taken away. Since no one knows to what class their mediumship may belong, is it not wiser to avoid developing it unless there be good reason to believe that in doing so valuable knowledge and useful power will be gained? When we reflect upon the enormous degree of power which a finely developed, highly endowed, astral physical medium possesses, and that such power once developed can be used for good or for evil, according to the minds under whose control the power is held, we cannot wonder that such gifts filled people with fear in olden times, or that when so many evil practitioners of the black arts obtained and developed these mediums, a reign of terror prevailed, which caused afflicted humanity to call in the aid of the laws and sweep all such persons and their knowledge from the earth, and that every religion has prohibited the use or development of such powers amongst the laity. It has been thought that the accounts of witchcraft in all lands are more or less exaggerated and highly colored, but we assert that within the lifetime of the younger members of the present generation there will be again a reproduction of all the worst features of those past epochs of evil power. A still more widespread reign of fear and danger will arise, because the number of persons who are developing and using magnetic powers is greater than in the past, and out these persons will become the tools of those who desire either good or evil results. They will be the instruments through which the occult forces will act in the time of conflict. The various churches and schools of philosophy will all take their share in the approaching conflict, just as they did in past times. And, as in the past, so in the future, the victory will be with those who possess the largest number of followers and the most knowledge with which to fight the side opposed to them. The spiritualists represent one of the efforts made by those in the spirit life to prepare for the coming struggle. The societies of Eastern mystics represent another. The churches represent a third. The free thought schools are an attempt by materialistic spirits to free men's minds and give to each his sovereign power over his own brain and his own power of action. The age is an age of freedom and of reason. Let everyone, then, welcome all schools of thought, which can aid in giving to man that knowledge of the obscure and dark places in nature's kingdom, which will prove his best antidote against the approaching evil.